Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
And we thank you very much for joining us. We are live worldwide on CUTV News Radio, broadcast series of the award-winning CUTV News. It is 2 p.m. Eastern at the time of our broadcast. We are live globally right now, and it is June 27th, 2018. It's a Wednesday. Letting you know as well that we do archive all of our shows, not only on our websites and social media, our guests do as well, and we also archive them on iTunes and on Stitcher. And it is my pleasure to welcome back somebody who has been a true inspiration for not only me, but for many people through this amazing story that she's been so eloquently and personally and oftentimes emotionally sharing with us, because it is something that's deep to the core. And it is an amazing, amazing story that has also, what I have found in telling this story or sharing this, even off the air to people that I know personally, family, friends, colleagues, associates, about this amazing story by author Loretta Harrington. A lot of people have been coming up to me and saying, my God, you know, I think I've had something similar to this that Loretta is explaining happen in my life. And I never thought anything of it. I never gave it another thought. Or I'm experiencing something like this right now in my life, and I'm going to look further into this, and I'm going to pay attention to the signs, and I'm going to make this relevant and not a back burner life experience. She's been so wonderful at sharing her experience through her memoir, Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, which follows the instant and deep connection of two soulmates reunited in this lifetime. The story recounts Loretta's amazing journey with her soul connection, Zura, who just a couple of shows back, and I encourage you to go back in our exclusive archives at CUTV News. You can also hear them on iTunes and Stitcher. And listen to the sequence of broadcasts. Watch the videos that we've done with her as well, TV video interviews. But specifically the episode where Zura is on with Loretta and myself. It was really, really, really good. He's a strong-willed young healthcare assistant who reveals himself as her beloved father lay dying, reveals himself as this soul connection, this soulmate. It's an amazing journey that has changed Loretta's life and Zura's forever, forever, and in so many glorious ways. And she's again been so eloquently sharing this with us here on our show. The book is absolutely phenomenal. We're going to talk a little bit more about it. Again, we've talked about it in depth in the previous episodes, and we're going to continue doing it on our series. But we also want to give you a little bit more broader scope on Loretta Harrington and her life and who she is, and some of the amazing work that she has done in her life. She's a very accomplished individual, as professional gets, and her business experiences are, we could do hours on the business experiences and the beautiful work she's done outside of writing Peace of Soul. But let's dive in. I mean, she's worked with the World Institute on Disability and so much more. So she's a very giving individual. I want to welcome her back because we've got so much to get to today, and it's a real pleasure always to speak with our very special guest and good friend of our show, Loretta Harrington. Loretta, good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us here on the broadcast. It's always great to have you with us, and we welcome you back.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's great to be back. I always enjoy our conversations because we find ourselves, especially me, find myself going into areas that I haven't really talked openly before about. Of course, I've got a bio and everyone is welcome to read that on my website. But I so enjoy our exploring new topics. So thanks for the invitation.
Oh, it is absolutely my pleasure. And again, you've also, in sharing your story, other people then come to the forefront to want to share their stories. And I think that it's a wonderful thing that you're doing, because you're connecting with people who maybe, again, thought different things in their life and just put it aside and wrote it off. And you're coming to the forefront. And whenever anybody does about an experience in their life, it allows other people to feel safe and confident to be able to do the same. So the people that you're touching, it goes way beyond even just the initial story that you're sharing. It allows people the venue to be able to share their stories too. And I think that is, as I've always said, a beautiful thing that you're doing. It's the icing on the cake to what you're doing, which I think is great. We want to talk also to give people a full, more well-rounded perspective on who you are and the phenomenal work that you do. Let's talk about your work with the World Institute on Disability. For people who are not familiar with the World Institute on Disability, you're the program director. You have an opportunity to meet with so many people and do such beautiful work. Tell us about the work they do and your role within that organization.
Well, thanks, Jim, for asking me to talk a little bit about World Institute on Disability. This is an organization that's over 30 years old. It was founded in Berkeley, California, on the independent living movement as part of that. It's one of the premier policy and advocacy organizations advocating for full employment, gainful, meaningful employment for people with disabilities. It also does work in the international arena, where we share all of our work that we've done here in the United States, business models, effective practices and policies. And we like those organizations that have established themselves abroad to take a look at what we've done and see if there's an application for what they're doing in their country. That's one of the most exciting pieces of my work. And another exciting piece of my work is I am now working in external relations and educating members of Congress, senators and congressmen and women, on our work, on our mission. They've known about us for many years, but the focus now is more important than ever. We have more jobs than we have people to fill these jobs. So my message is to the Hill is, we've got an untapped labor pool. And if given the opportunity, these individuals, these men and women, are ready to go to work. We just need to fix a few things by way of public policy that stands in the way for these, college students too, young men and women, as well as adults, from getting into the workforce or returning to the workforce. It happens to us. A disability is a condition of life. And some of us are injured. Some of us are born with a disability. Nonetheless, there's WID's position, and I certainly subscribe to it, is there's a place in this world for everyone. If the door is open, mentoring is offered, as we do with many, many employees that I've worked with in the past. There's an awfully high success rate that you will find an employee that's extremely loyal, that doesn't take excessive amounts of sick leave, and who gives 110% every day. So that's what I'm doing. That's what I've done for the last 7 years with the World Institute on Disability. And I work with a wonderful group of colleagues. Most of my colleagues have a disability. And to be honest with you, Jim, I don't pay any mind to it. It's something that I don't think about. We all are committed to the mission, and we get there in our own way. And my colleagues wouldn't want that attention on them. They're there to do their jobs and do them well. So that's a little bit about WID and what I do.
So the work that you do with the World Institute on Disability, I know for you personally, it gives you great joy, doesn't it? Knowing that you are in this realm where you have the ability to affect change, you have the ability to really make lives better, to enhance lives. It's in your DNA to do that anyway, Loretta, but having this venue of working with the team at World Institute on Disability allows you to effectuate that, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does, and I tell anyone, especially a young person who's interested in coming into this field of work, and I'll get to how I found myself in this field, and I tell the young person or any other person that's looking to transition, you must look at this work that we do as a vocation. We don't get to take many victory laps in this business, and our small victories are celebrated and held high. And with that, everyone that works in this field realizes that what we do every day is difficult work, but it stands to gain, and we stand to see rewards at some point. But if you're looking for that bottom line, we've sold 44,000 iPhones in 1 hour. That's not the kind of accomplishments that we get to see. But I'll tell you what, it is an accomplishment. When I see a young person who's coming out of a college or university, and I'm seeing an organization, and I've worked with the private sector, who's willing to open the door and give this person an opportunity to interview, to go through the hiring process, and is fortunate enough to get hired, when you hear a recruiter say, "Loretta, we absolutely love this person, and we're putting this person in our management development program. We believe in this individual. We would have never found him or her unless we've had the opportunity to work with you." And this was especially the case, Jim, with our returning veterans, our wounded warriors. I worked very closely with organizations that were opening their doors and creating jobs and modifying jobs for our veterans who were wounded and continue to come back in not the best of condition. So those are the kinds of days that you mark your calendar and you say, you know, I did make a difference today, and I'm glad I did what I did, and I'm glad I'm doing what I'm doing. So it's really service over self, and that's been pretty much my whole adult life. In different jobs, in different locations, and working with certainly a diverse group of people while my husband was active duty in the Marine Corps. So all of those things come into play, and look at this work as a vocation. Embrace it, love it, and I also have a word of caution. If that individual finds that they're not feeling good about their job or they're not feeling gratified, it's okay to leave, because this is not for everyone. They feel that they want to move on or go to another organization, especially a nonprofit, that's more to their liking, where they identify more clearly with the mission of another nonprofit. I encourage that person to take a look. We just lost a very fine young lady who was coming along beautifully in our programs, and yet she felt that she wanted to go to another nonprofit where she identified more seriously, and I encouraged her to do that, and she left us. We were sad because we lost a trusted colleague, but on the other hand, she's staying in the nonprofit world, and she's going to make a difference in her new organization, and it was because she identified more seriously with her new organization than she did with our work. And we know that, and we accept that. And our challenge, Jim, is always going to be finding new leaders to come into this field where many of us have been in for a while. I'm not I'm not one of those that have been in this field forever and ever. But still, we're always looking for new thinking, new dedication, and more importantly, new leaders.
Absolutely. Let's go back. You mentioned a little bit about going back to the beginnings for you. You began your career in the disability field back in 2004 while an appointee for President George W. Bush, right? Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, this was fascinating. And I'll just say that everyone that enters your life, certainly those that entered my life, I've paid more attention to them than I had in the past, and this was the case. I was invited to join the Bush administration in 2001 after 9/11. I wanted to serve in some capacity, and a friend and colleague was able to navigate that for me. And I had served the president in a couple of different positions prior to 2004. So when I got the call and they said, Loretta, we would like you to go into this organization, I said, I don't know very much about disability. They said, we know that. It's okay. But this is something that's of interest to the president, and we know that you will make a difference. So I packed up my boxes, left a chief of staff position in a regulatory agency, and I went over to the office in the Department of Labor, unpacked my boxes, and I said to the staff, okay, teach me. I want to learn. Tell me what I need to learn to make this agency successful and to reach out to corporations. And that's what the staff did for me. They were very patient with me. They guided me. And I found myself taking to the mission of the agency and rather enjoying the work because I got to talk with individuals that I normally wouldn't have had the opportunity to talk to. So that's how it all came about for me. I left government. World Institute on Disability called me. They said, we have an opportunity for you. I said, great, but I'm not moving to California. And they said, that's quite all right. Stay where you are. We want to open up a Washington, D.C. office, and that's where we want you. And that's where I've been and will continue to be as long as I feel that I'm making a contribution.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the, and I know they change and they're always evolving and probably getting more and more as each day and each week goes on, Loretta, but a little bit more about some of the actual responsibilities that you have as program director. I mean, you're responsible for managing a government grant, placing college students with disabilities and internships and a wealth of things. Tell us a little bit more about that. It's fascinating work that you're doing.
Yes, the project management field is the field that I've been pretty much wedded to. Seems that whatever job I got while we were moving around, my husband and I were moving around because of his military experience, career, I found myself running projects. And then when I came to government, that was a key skill set, and I got my professional credentials in project management. And managing government grants, that's always a competitive edge. To have someone on the project that has project management accreditation. And that's where I found myself, running a five-year project on placing college students with small businesses. And then having to work with a consortium of organizations as part of that model. We finished that project. And then the director said, we've got something else we want you to take on. And that was looking at a project within the organization, an internal project, to brand our work and put it in a strategic framework. And so all of my project management skills were put into good use. And I will say, going back just a moment with project management and working for government, we always have to keep in mind, Jim, that we have to be good custodians of the taxpayers' dollars, whether we're in government or whether we are managing government grants and contracts. And you have to embrace that thinking, because each and every day your tax dollar and my tax dollar has to be put to good use. And we have to fulfill the requirements of the project. We have to do it all throughout, every day, every week, every month. And we have to be sure that we are living up to the commitment that we made to the government to satisfy their requirements, and then some. We believe that meeting the requirements is just minimal work. We always want to exceed requirements. And fortunately, that's the case with that project. And now we find ourselves in a position where that work that we've done is being recognized now by the private sector and also by private foundations, including J.P. Morgan Chase, who's been a very good supporter of our work. And I've been privileged to work with their New York and Washington, D.C. team to bring the message to their organization and to the organizations that they sponsor that it's all about inclusiveness and people with disabilities need to be included with everything that we do. And that's the fun part of our work, getting recognized and taking on new challenges.
That's right, absolutely. And that's one of the things I know that you're always ready for and willing to do, is take on new challenges, because then again, it also makes the work more rewarding too when you're able to do that, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. We all get stale. We are looking for new challenges and opportunities, and I have a notion that my director senses that with me, so she's keeping me on my toes with various projects and taskings, and I appreciate that, because when I left government, I said I did what I set out to do, and now I'm ready for new challenges, and I'm still ready. We're all ready for new challenges. Heavens knows if we get to the point where we say that's something I don't want to pursue anymore, then I think we have to take another look at what we're doing and what's this all about? Are we making a difference, and is it meaningful? And I never want to get to that point where I'm content. It's been said that Capricorns, and I'm a Capricorn, I mean, we fall out of the cradle into the workforce. I didn't coin that term, but someone else did, but I certainly can identify with that, because I've always been a worker and I've always made the best of situations. Heavens knows I've taken jobs that I thought, good grief, I don't believe I'm doing this. I had no idea that I would find myself in these very small businesses doing just about everything, including emptying trash cans. But I looked at it in terms of, you know, it's good to be humble. It's good to see hardworking people and working shoulder to shoulder with them, doing what we all need to do, which is quite frankly pay our bills and make a better life for ourselves and our children. And it's something that I wouldn't trade for anything. Although I must admit, at the time I said, I can't believe I'm doing this. I think I should be doing something far more interesting. But actually, Jim, I never quite closed a door on opportunities. I kept the door open. Sometimes I walked through, and other times it just didn't feel right. But when I said yes,
right.
I learned. I learned a lot.
It's good to go with your gut. And I just want to let the audience know, if they are scrambling to Google and looking up the sign characteristics of Capricorn, you're also going to probably see next to the description the name Loretta Harrington, because the description is, it's all about hard work. Those born under that sign of Capricorn are more than happy to put in a full day at the office, realizing that it will likely take a lot of those days to get to the top. And that's not a problem, since Capricorns are both ambitious and determined, and they will get there. That sums up you beautifully.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I do have to take time off every now and then.
Family and tradition. Yeah, you got to breathe. You got to breathe, absolutely. And you also love family and tradition and personality, smart, hardworking, full in control of their destiny in both personal and professional life. You know, speaking of professional expertise, you've got a wealth of expertise even way before working with the Bush administration and the World Institute of Disability as well that have set you up beautifully for everything you're doing, right?
Indeed. I worked for very small businesses. We would call them micro businesses. I helped set up organizations, small organizations, consulting organizations that have since grown. I've worked for established for-profit organizations, again, in the project management field. I moved from East Coast, West Coast, Japan, back to West Coast, back to East Coast. So I constantly had to look at updating my skills, Jim, and I constantly had to package my skills in a way that an employer would say, well, you've had quite a few jobs. And I'll be frank with you, being a military wife didn't always work to my advantage because I had jobs for short term and some jobs I had for as long as 2 years. And convincing an employer at that time to take a chance was a bit of a selling job for me. But those that have said yes have, I would say, you could talk to them today and they would say, I wish she would have stayed longer. I wish she could have stayed longer. So small businesses, nonprofits, started my own travel business with my husband some years ago after I wrote the book and got to learn more about the country of Georgia and their culture. I've since turned that operation over to my husband. But what a thrill that was to start a tour business from nothing. And had great support from colleagues that were in the field for many years who willingly gave of their expertise and time to us to help us get that business off the planning stages, out of the planning stages and off the drawing boards to a reality. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And as I said, my husband, Rick, he manages that business as we speak. And I'm still staying focused on doing what I'm doing, but keeping an eye on that, thinking, maybe one day I'll just say, let's travel more.
Absolutely.
And do what we want to do.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, you are just somebody who is such a tremendous, tremendous inspiration to so many people. As an accomplished person as you are with writing the book, with all of the work that you've done, because all the work you have done in your life and continue to do is to the benefit of man and womankind. It's to the benefit of us all. It's enhancing, it's enriching, it's empowering, it's healing, it's helping. That is in your DNA, Loretta Harrington, and as we've just outlined with some of the beautiful work you do, which our audience might not have been aware of, outside of and separate from that fabulous book, Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, this just leads beautifully into that book and the importance of that book as well, and how through all of this work and life's journey you've experienced, boom, that experience with Zura just shook things up, enhanced everything you're doing, but shook things up as well. I want to get folks to know where they can find that that and learn more about you. Of course, they can learn more about you and your wonderful life at LorettaHarrington.me. That's the website for Loretta, LorettaHarrington.me. The book, Peace of Soul Through the Heart, A Soul's Journey, is available also at Amazon.com. I always hate when our shows end because I've got a million more questions. We can chat for so much longer, Loretta, but always an honor, always a pleasure, and thanks so much for being with us once again today.
My pleasure, and you're welcome, and happy to talk again soon.
Take care of yourself. say hi to your other half and the whole family. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks for joining us as well, Jim Masters, CUTV News Radio. Have a terrific day. And again, go to Loretta's website, lorettaharrington.me. She's an incredible individual. And her book, Peace of Soul Through the Heart of Soul's Journey, available at Amazon.com. I have my copy. It's a must read. Jim Masters here. Have a terrific day from CUTV News Radio.
You've been listening to CUTV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CUTV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.